Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Welcome to Democratic Perspective, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, as always.
As always, my cousin Tino over here. The Democratic Perspective is continuing our little exciting foray into the questions, the basic fairness questions of the Yavapai College and the whole taxing structure.
Before we get to our guests, let me read a response. And last week, Mike talked about the college responding and sending somebody over. And I think when I talked to the fellow over there, I said, you know, we could have a separate program if you have somebody who's in the administration actually making decisions, not a publicity guy.
Remind us, Steve, what are we talking about? What's the problem here?
The problem here is it's taxation with misrepresentation of what you're using the tax money for.
Okay.
And the Yavapai College has collected a tremendous amount of tax money. And I think the first thing to say, folks, is that most people don't understand that you're paying as much taxes to the community college that's over in Prescott as you are for the school system. That's certainly true here in Sedona. You're paying as much for this community college as you are for the fire department. In Sedona, it's, what's the figure, $6,689,000 or something that like that last year. So it's millions and millions of dollars going to the college. And the question is, are they spending the money in such a way as to be what a community college is supposed to be?
We have their plan that says they're not.
Right.
That we have their plan that says, even though I'm going to, you know, we have 15 to 20 to 23% of the taxes are collected over here, that somewhere between 95 or more percent of the money will be spent in Prescott. It seems like, and we're going to talk about closing.
I mean, if you're coming in from the internet, this may be hard to see because the county is so huge, and it really is like collecting the money for all of Massachusetts and spending it way over in eastern Massachusetts. That's really what's kind of been happening.
Yeah. So we're watching services in Sedona go down. We're watching services in Cottonwood, Clarkdale go down. It's just course offerings and that. And so those are the things. Obviously, when we're talking about an educational institution here that has multiple branch offices, or in this case, multiple campuses, it's a little complex, but we're going to try to keep it simple.
Right. And so we invited the college to respond. We had Ruth Wicks and Bob Oliphant, we're going to introduce in a minute, on the program last week. And we asked the college to respond, and we offered them all kinds of different things. They could call in. I said, well, you'd be kind of a disadvantage calling in when the other people are in the studio, so please come over for the show. I said, if you have an administrative, and this offer still opens, if you have an administrator, we will devote a whole program to talking with you and presenting your point of view. But this is what I got from the college, from a man named Mike Lang, who's a publicity guy. Thanks for your offer to be on your radio program, but we're quite busy now that the semester is underway, so we'll have to pass. I don't know how many employees the college has, but it's over 1,000. And you might want to mention that people can watch the YC District Governing Board meetings. And it gives us an address. One of the problems I think Ruth was saying earlier was that people don't watch those programs. They're long and they're boring and they're hard to find and people don't even know they exist and so forth and so on. So it's not a very genuine intervention. This response, I think, reflects the arrogance that a lot of people see from the Yavapai College administration from the top down, a lack of response. They are not going to be able to avoid talking about this issue. Ruth and Bob are at work talking to everybody. The story has reached the newspapers. There are at least 7 or 8 meetings across the Verde Valley about this issue. So should we introduce our guest, Mike?
Yeah, let's go ahead and introduce the guest. I want to talk about those those meetings, of course, if you're interested in the topic, we're going to talk about the meetings and we're going to talk about some of the news programs. But we have in the studio with us, we have Bob Oliphant. Professor Oliphant is an emeritus professor of law at William Mitchell College. At the William Mitchell College of Law, he was a tenured member of the University of Minnesota faculty, administrator for 17 years for the National Institute of Trial Advocacy, and served as associate dean at William Mitchell. He was also in private practice for a period, specializing in family law. He has written dozens of articles and book materials in the family law area over the years. In retirement, he continues to write and research in this area, and he and his colleague, Associate Dean Nancy Versteeg, co-author of the family law textbook that is still currently being used in law schools around the nation. They also co-authored a book that's likewise used by law students nationally. The most recent editions were published in the past year.
And Bob was a member of the board of Yavapai College. It's an electoral position. He was appointed because no one else ran, which brings an issue of the lack of involvement. And Ruth is like, I don't know, she's famous in the Verde Valley, right?
She is famous. She's famous. Helped a lot of... Good looking. Helped a lot of young people over the years as a counselor on a variety of campuses and around the college and has served on around the valley, I should say, and has served on various boards and commissions and one of them was involved with the college, and that's how she got involved and the knowledge that she has. And. And then she felt, I'm going to let her speak for herself, actually. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, we just want to, obviously, the three guys here, when it comes to voices, we want to kind of identify voices here, but...
Hopefully mine's not too long.
Yeah, exactly.
My days of smoking.
You're the easy one.
At one point, you were both on a foundation to raise money for the college.
Correct.
What happened? Well, you were Ruth was the president of it, and Bob was the president of it, and you were raising a bunch of money for the college, and that's sort of like everything else in the Verde Valley. It seemed to have faded.
Well, Ruth and I began working together on what is called a chapter for this area, excuse me, of the county, 7 years ago, and the chapter was dead. And with Ruth's help and the help of others, we developed a chapter that included people from throughout the area, Sedona, Jerome, Clarkdale, Cottonwood, Camp Verde. And we did build a very strong chapter. At the end of 6 years, we both, under the rules, retired. And since we've retired, the chapter has, just before we retired, the chapter lost its full-time administrator, which was a very important position, and college said it wouldn't replace her. And then it's changed its form into what is called an auxiliary, more a volunteer organization. Our goal and all of our efforts over those 6 years were aimed at developing a very professional fundraising organization to assist the college, and that every segment of the eastern part of the county would be represented. And we felt we were moving very close to that, but unfortunately things changed.
Well, Bob was instrumental in starting a scholarship for nursing students called the Florence Nightingale Scholarship, where people would actually give enough money for a nursing student to attend school for a full year. And then they would have an opportunity to actually meet the nursing student. Well, now, since our leaving, they have made that an endowment that they have to have like $10,000, and off the $10,000, any monies earned would then be given over to the students, which those endowments seem to lose money, and that they give very, very little off of them, like maybe $100, $150. So... this program that he started, this Florence Nightingale, we raised like $75,000 in like 3 years for nursing students. But I think the college vision of what the Verde campus is, they see it as a vineyard and a winery. And so I think they turned the chapter into, it's called Friends, which is ramifications of, you know, of the Constitution and their status within the organization. And the Friends were asked to just focus on the winery and the Southwest Winery, which is very important. But also there are other students that attend, and often people that want to donate don't want to necessarily donate to the wine industry or the Southwest Wine Center. They might want to invest in nursing students or teachers or something that they truly have a passion for. So I think they all of a sudden started narrowing the view of what the Verde campus looked like.
So you had a good up and running working program that was supporting nursing students.
The very first thing, yeah.
The college either, and did they publicly disagree with it? Was this did they denounce it at a meeting? I mean, or
the president came and asked the board if they would switch their role, and all the people there are very kind people. They wanted to help the college in any way. So the vision of the leadership narrowed so much that they were just looking at that. So they dropped, like, the book scholarship, which that first year we were formed,
sure.
we raised $17,000 for students to get money so they could buy their books.
But what they did was downsize the whole thing by not having a permanent staff member helping to raise the money, right? I
mean, right.
That's typical of the pattern we see for this college for the last almost decade, right?
I have supervised development units. And one of my concerns when I first came here was simply that there was not an experienced development unit focusing on the eastern sector of Yavapai County. And we were able to get a full-time employee after a great deal of work and a part-time employee focusing exclusively on fundraising and development in the eastern sector of the county. If you're going to be successful, in my judgment, in fundraising, you have to have people full-time who are working with the folks in very closely in these communities, talking with them about programs and fundraising opportunities. That is different than the centralized vision that the current administration has. They see they use efficiency and centralization as key components of what they're doing.
Yeah, it certainly does seem like a corporate ideal or a corporate model that the branch offices are, you know, in this case, the satellite campuses. I'm comparing the branch offices of a bank or something are seen as being a burden, and
But aren't they also organized sort of like the branch of a bank where there's no decisions being made at the Verde campus anymore about the Verde campus? Decisions come down from the bank headquarters, in this case, Yavapai College over in Prescott. Is that true, or is that?
That's in general true. It's administered from Prescott. There is a dean over here, but the reality is that the input from the communities here is really insignificant, very small, much different than in Prescott, by the way, much different.
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
Well, in Prescott, among other things, they have developed a foundation that works very closely with the college, and they have a wonderful group of people, 20 or 29 people on that board, 27 of whom are from Prescott and Prescott Valley. These are really the leaders, leading citizens over there, and they have very strong views of what the college should do. Their executive director changes hats and actually becomes a vice president of the college. He goes back and forth.
I see.
So they have a very, very strong voice in the direction that the college takes.
And integral support. I mean, they're
right.
Interwoven with the college and the board rather than some sort of separate entity.
That's right. And there's no balance to that over here. There just is not. We were moving toward that, we thought, but there just isn't. So they have wonderful citizen input. Terrific.
Well, and that's one of the things I wanted to point out this morning was what the college does for the Prescott economy is I'm staggering, maybe too strong a word, but certainly if I was working in print journalism, I would use the word staggering. the economic impact of all of the things that happen at the college, all of the programs, the Performing Arts Center, which has been kicked up a little bit as far as activity goes, the fact that they have dorms on campus and the construction and the people living there, there's just so much activity. The Hacienda Writers Institute, I mean, all of the things that come to the campus, the restaurants, the hotel, all the things, the ancillary things that happen when you have activity, and the campus is such a huge part of that, that we are being denied here, as far as I'm concerned.
And they brag about spending $1 million on tennis courts that will help build tourism in Prescott. Now, we don't want Prescott not to have tourism. We think building tennis courts is a good idea, but we're paying for them over here. And Bob, tell us a little bit about the 10-year plan, which is what really has shocked everybody. When the word about the 10-year plan got out and the pattern of spending over the next 10 years projected, that's when this started to heat up.
Well, it woke people up to things that Bob knew and Ruth knew. And it really woke, and others knew, but certainly it woke people up to that. Yeah, Bob, what do you...
Well, the 10-year plan put a cap on what I've seen over the past 7 years, well, since 2007 at least, as a new vision for the Yavapai Community College. They have since that time built a new campus called CTEC without any voter input or anything like that. They have built a new campus called NAU, Yavapai University, over there in Prescott. And this thing stunned me because all of the 103.8 million dollars of development, all but less than 1.5-2%, goes to developing the western sector of the county. Among other things, they're going to build their third campus. This is a $45 million campus in Prescott Valley to replace the current community college. So I will be honest, I was just stunned. I did feel hopeless. The board knew my view and were very much aware of how I was attempting to represent the people over here in the eastern sector, certainly in my district. But it didn't make any difference. It was relatively a hopeless situation for me. Thus, I felt the only thing left to do is to try to alert the folks over here as to at least what's going on, so maybe they would be ready to say something.
Well, it certainly seems that the unfairness seems huge. And I have to admit, our local print outlets are using some strong language, we're kind of a middle of the road here on democratic perspective. We certainly would love to have the college representatives from the college come over and talk about some of these things, these inequities that we see. I'm sure they have answers and a response, and we'd love to hear them. But the headlines I like: Yavapai College's 10-year plan aims to rob Verde Valley.
They
use the word. I like the Red Rock News in the editorial used the word rob in the headline, and in the story that they did on the front page, they used the word fight. So we're in a word business here. We're speaking them. They're writing them, and so the words we choose are important. Certainly other people who are aware of this situation that Bob and Ruth are talking about.
Story is spread at least in the media, from our little radio program. It's spread now to the newspaper. That's the paper of record for Sedona. And if we seem harsh, and if Bob, I think, put it in a very calm and kindly way, what Bob says is this spending represents something, and what the paper says, it's really robbing the Verde Valley. It's taking our tax money,
killing
spending it over there. Reducing our college over here, right?
Yeah. Well, just let me add to this: the way they're going to raise money for the $103 million expenditure is by first closing and selling the Sedona campus. And then
5 acres.
And their 5 acres. They'll generate funds for that project over there. They also will close and sell the Chino Valley Paulden campus on the other side to generate money for that. They once had a Camp Verde campus for a short period of time, and that was closed out. If you go back to 2000, you see there was a promise to open a Cordis Junction facility, and that was never done. Now, the college believes that it followed the 2000 bond, I should add.
But people in Sedona thought they were going to build a major technology and art center here.
Yes.
And that's one reason they supported it. They were promised something like that, different configurations. And so they agreed to the bond issue, and then the college sort of started doing it, and then they pulled the plug on it, which is just seemed to be a pattern, I think, in the Verde Valley. Would you agree, Bob and Ruth?
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah. Well, what they're in addition to what I've already said that concerned me, they are closing down the digital film project here. They are taking at least half of the nursing program from the Verde Valley, taking that over to Prescott. And then when you go back to 2007, 2008, there was a major project for this area of Arizona, the thing called the Northern Arizona Regional Skills Center. And it was designed to be a vocational, major vocational training facility. That was closed down and moved over to the Prescott side, to Prescott Valley. So you see these patterns very clearly. They're not obtuse at all. They're right out there if you look carefully at it.
Yeah, and what you're calling vocational, the whole career and technology ed thing seems like it's a perfect fit for the Verde Valley. It's just what a wonderful addition it would have been.
But they built it over at the Prescott Airport, right? Like everything else, may start somewhere else, and it's suddenly like it's more like a board game. Suddenly it moves over to the Prescott Valley, so that they're building campuses there, and we're drawing from here, and that's been going on for years, right?
Well, I think what happens is the leadership changes, the leader comes in with a certain idea, and then when a new leader is then brought in, they look at the old leader's plan and say, well, that's goofy. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be doing this other thing. So in a matter of like from 2000 till now, we've had three leadership changes. So it is not very educationally wise, because I think coming from a background of education, you want continuity and you want to meet the needs of the community. So about 10 years ago, they moved all vocational classes out of the Verde Valley. So let's say a young woman or young man wants to get a degree in or a certificate in auto mechanics or welding. Well, now they have to go clear over to Prescott's airport to a lovely facility. I mean, they have everything and they have outstanding teachers. But to drive 60 or 90 miles over there and back is very unreasonable. And so it's really been a disaster. We have over 500 young people graduating from our three public high schools. So I would say that maybe 100 of those might have the ability to have money to go live in a dorm at ASU or go down to Phoenix to go to graphic arts or auto mechanic school down there. But, you know, the other 400 don't have that kind of money, don't have that kind of transportation.
Well, that's it. I mean, the Sedona campus was built across the street from the high school.
Exactly.
It was really a good idea. Sometimes things make sense. And wonderful building on 1 acre there and right across from the high school, across the highway from the high school. But they own another 5 acres in the area that they picked up at you know, fire sale prices, by the way, back in 2002.
They got help to purchasing that land through leadership in this community. One of those people is Bob Larson, who owns and runs the Red Rock News, and it's very disappointing to people that have worked really hard for the college and obtained things that they thought the college needs. Now, to have somebody turn around and just say, hey, it's not any good anymore, we're going to do this and we need that money, so we're selling that property. I think it's very, very discouraging.
I think there's that you're alluding to a feeling of almost betrayal and being misled in Sedona by the college over the college's intention, that the college tends to string officials here along with promises of a culinary institute. Bob, is that in their budget at all?
No, there's nothing for Sedona in the budget. It's zero.
The budget for Sedona is zero.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I think, you know, I want to add another strong word, abandonment. betrayal is good. And we certainly would love to hear the college response. If we're missing something, boy,
they're very busy, Mike. They've only got a 1,400 people over there.
All right,
they really liked our offer to be on the program, but they're quite busy now because school's in session.
Well, yeah, we'll add that to the list of terms we're using. But we do want to talk about solutions. We do have what we think. What you guys think. I'm along for the ride here, but Bob and Ruth and Steve, let's talk about the idea of the administrative split.
Let's go to one other thing is that yeah. Folks, underneath the surface and stuff, there are getting close to a dozen meetings going to be taking place. Where people having dialogues and stuff. And we'll get to that. At last, Ruth can announce one that she's organizing. There's not a lot of room there, but there's still availability if you want to be in on that. And Ruth will give you her contact information. But I know of at least seven meetings and hearings. The Sedona City Council has asked the college to come and testify. League of Women Voters are holding two series. Although they're only allowing the college to be up on the platform.
Oh, the League of Women Voters is having one in Cottonwood, one in Sedona. Is that right?
And they're not allowing anybody but the college spokesmen, but I think that people will be there. You can ask them questions from the floor. So there's a series. There's a lot of stuff going on, and the news is getting out. And we look at Bob and Ruth are the people who are really responsible for this. And I don't know how much Bob wants to make it available because it's a long, but he has a very, very wonderful, elaborate what did you call your work? It's kind of it's almost a calendar of what the college is doing, a series of newsletters about the college. Very objective. It just tells the facts, and the facts are what's making people very, very irritated.
Right. From my perspective, it boils down to a situation where the community college concept over here is almost dead. It just is. And the second thing is that there is a serious vocational training gap. It really exists. If people take the time to look at it seriously, they will recognize the importance of vocational training and the absence of the kids and residents over here to obtain that training. It's a very, very serious issue. So we're trying to make folks out here aware of the seriousness of it. The central administration in Prescott will rely on online courses and dual enrollment, that is, high school teachers teaching college courses for them.
So that's where their statistics that we're doing something over in the Verde Valley come from.
Right. Yes. And I think that Bob's going to allude to a really a good fact, but I wanted to talk about the dual enrollment classes. Having been a high school counselor at Mingus Union High School for 24 years, I know the teenager, and for good or evil. And, you know, most juniors and seniors are not sufficiently skilled or motivated to take college-level classes. And Mike here has also taught both at the high school and the college in the English and reading areas. So when they talk about dual enrollment, you're only looking at maybe 10% of your juniors and seniors. So it's a very select and small group of people that are really capable of taking college-level classes while they're still in high school. So it's not a panacea. So
while they're in high school, they should take high school
classes and excel in those. And the online classes, Bob has done some extensive research in it, and also faculty members at Yavapai College on online classes and their lack of reaching out and helping students who are young, new college students, or poverty level students are not usually very successful in online classes. So I stole the punchline from you, Bob. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, our hope is that we can find a way to bring community college to this side of the valley and allow the residents here who are paying taxes for this educational opportunity to play a really significant role in the development of the community college concept.
So there's two basic problems, right, Bob? One is sort of taxation and taking the money from the Verde Valley and spending it over there. And the other problem is the neglect of the facilities and training for young people. And my personal feeling is that it really helps a young person if maybe they didn't do well enough in high school to go to one of the 4-year colleges. There are only 3 public ones in Arizona. If they can go to a place that looks like a college, has college facilities, feel like they're in a college, they can get recharged and involved. And even students going back in their 30s, which Ruth tells us is the majority of the population, you'd like to go to a place that makes you feel like you're doing something. I starting out with online courses doesn't seem the way to go. I like other people's opinion, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can talk all day about the studies on online courses versus traditional, and certainly it's comes down to everybody has an opinion, but the studies would bear that out, you know, that, and I think I mentioned on last week's show, the Maricopa County Community Colleges, those 8 Arizona community colleges are trying to reverse their online because, you know, right now it's 60% online, 40%. In class, traditional, and they want to. They're hiring a lot of staff. They're pouring money into staff. Something like $300,000, maybe more. But they want to reverse that. They want 40% online, 60% traditional.
So what's happening here is that the college is expanding the online in order to justify moving everything to Prescott.
Yeah.
And down there, the whole trend is abandoning it because it doesn't work, or integrating it more with being in college. So you're in college, you're taking college courses with a professor while you're doing online courses.
The other big thing that I want to point out this morning is, I think we mentioned it here first and the paper did too, that you cancel a program and then to talk about justifying your behavior, and I'm talking about the college, canceling programs or reducing programs and then justifying their behavior by talking about reduced enrollment in the Verde Valley and in Sedona. So, and you say, well, if you cancel the program or limit the program, and nobody, then there's nothing to enroll in, and all the ancillary classes. If you're going to take film, well, you're going to take English and history and all those other good things. If maybe, anyway, okay. So that seems to be another pattern since 2007 is that this kind of silly thing about reducing programs and then complaining about and pointing to the reason for your activity. This is a logical fallacy that some people teach in English 101. But, reducing it and then talking about it, taking away the programs and talking about lower enrollment. But we want to at least mention, and we only have about 7 or 8 minutes left here, talk about the administrative split. How can we now? Obviously, there's lots and lots to talk about. There's lots of responses we'd love to get from the college. There are lots of details here, but the basic question is, as we started at the top
done?
Of the show,
can be done
exactly? Taxation with misrepresentation, I think you called it. What can we do?
We could go to the legislature and try to obtain a separate district legislatively. That would be challenging and difficult. We could just do nothing, and everyone continue to pay.
That.
You've been doing that now.
We covered that one
for a very long time.
Yes.
So our view is that we need to explore the idea of an administrative district, and that administrative district would be set up administratively, mm-hmm. so that we don't get into elections, we don't get into new taxes, nothing changes in that way. But the district would be set up so that the taxpayer funding for the colleges would come to this side of the mountain, and you would have an administrative team here that solely and exclusively administers those funds. They would work with the other side of the mountain in terms of possibly sharing some resources. They would,
well, of course, sharing those resources like that save money, like purchasing and all that. Right. That would be crazy to duplicate.
And they would prepare a budget and submit it to the existing district board, so we don't have to get into a statutory change on the setup of the district board, along with the budget submitted by the other side of the mountain. But it would put local control into the hands of the people over here. So that's the basic idea. Ruth, can you add to that?
And we've set up a meeting with ASU, college relations people, and also Gilbert Chandler Community College past provost. So we're going to explore those options that Maricopa County Community Colleges have. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel, that we could use them and possibly use them if we had a transition period, then use their guidance, their master plan for that. Certainly Bob and I, that's not our expertise at all. The college people here in our Verde Valley would then go forward and create that thing there, that our independent colleges here in the Verde Valley themselves.
So you see an administrating district providing local control, Verde Valley control for the Verde Valley tax money that's being spent, sharing some facilities in the back of the house facilities with the college over there, but we would have people here actively involved in expanding and trying out things, and that the way the money would be distributed would be much more fair. Absolutely. Because in the Verde Valley, what are we producing, Bob? About 30% of the tax money that's going into the college, maybe more.
Well, our current general estimates are 30 to 35%.
Wow.
But we are continuing to gather accurate information.
Sure.
We want to have as accurate information as we can get. Sedona was the first city to come in and stunned everyone here, I'm sure, when they learned this
$6.5 million a year, and something that Bob mentioned earlier, $700,000 of that Sedona is spending to pay a bond for a facility that was never built by the college.
Right.
I mean, it's just nice. $700,000 a year of our tax money to pay interest, basically, on a bond of something that was promised and never happened.
Camp Verde it just did a similar study as Sedona had, and they contribute well over $1 million annually. And they have nothing.
It's so hard for me to imagine. You know, you got these growing, you know, Camp Verde, Rimrock, Beaver Creek, all those places are growing like mad, even now. And then, of course, Clarkdale, Cottonwood, you know, Verde Village, with tens of thousands of people. Forget about, and not forget about, but Sedona, the Village of Oak Creek. All of these communities, except for Cottonwood and Clarkdale, who still, so far, have a Verde campus, are being underserved or not served, or let's abandoned. In other words, the college is not, they're pulling out of these places, and it's not that they always had to have a brick and mortar facility there like they do, like most, a lot of places, a lot of community colleges do. They moved into existing facilities and you know, schools and whatnot, and called it the college for a little while. We do want to emphasize the plan we're talking about is no new taxes. We simply want to use the taxes raised here. You want to use them here. We raise them here, we spend them here, and we think we can put together a good educational
program. People say the problem is that anyone goes into Bob's position, he will be one person on the board of Yavapai College with what is it, four people on who are based in Prescott Valley. People think there can't be change from the inside. Some people think that administrative district, explain why administrative district would be better than some people in the valley really believe that we have to have a separate district here, we have to have separate colleges, separate money, separate everything, because of the maldistribution of resources. And it's extreme. I mean, if you're going to spend 98% of your development money somewhere else and collect the money over here, it is really extreme. And that's why you get headlines in the paper like Rob the Verde
Valley. A separate college district would be a good show. We do want to talk about a separate college district. I know a little bit about this, talked to a lawyer, and it involves the splitting of assets. And as soon as you talk about splitting assets, Yavapai College, you know, their head's going to explode, and their collective head, I should say. But we still want to talk about it. We want to talk about what would it be, you know, to form. It doesn't hurt. This is America. We can talk about things.
Right.
It does seem that the administrative split is a maybe more sensible, less expensive way to go.
Yeah.
And where everybody still gets what they should have. They deserve. In other words, the tax
money. It's a sort of compromise, right, folks?
Yeah. I would hate to throw this in, but people have that I've talked to say, well, now maybe it's time to split the county. So this issue might spur that movement on. I don't know, but I think it's going to be very, very hard for Prescott to let us go, to see it to their best interest, and that they would have to live within their means, not using our money.
I think the administration and the folks running things think they have all the cards. They control the supervisors. They control the board for the college. They have double the population we have. And so I think, tell us again a little bit how you would do this, Bob and Ruth. How would you establish an administrative district? And it's kind of a compromise. It's not having the complete independence of the people who want a new district or a new county. It's a little bit more of a compromise of how you do things. This seems more likely to be able to be developed.
Yeah, well, I don't see it. Well, it is a compromise. I just see it as fundamentally fair. Why aren't we fair to the people in the eastern sector of the county? Why shouldn't they have a strong voice in how their community college functions? Why not?
Well, that's
all it is. And if we could get 3 votes of the district governing board for an administrative district over here, we could do that. I don't know if we can. I don't know if the folks over here are serious enough about saving the community colleges to really get involved. I just don't know. But it's a simple process, 3 votes out of 5. And you're right, they have all the cards. We have the concept of fundamental fairness for people. That's all we have.
Well, you would think a board would be concerned with all the students of the county. And right.
They will also use efficiency. They'll say this is a very efficient model we have now.
Well, cutting services and selling campuses doesn't seem like serving people of this part of the Eastern Valley. So maybe I'm wrong. Show me how cutting services and selling campuses is serving us, and you better come up with a better word than efficiency.
Bruce, what's happening here in the Verde Valley? There's meetings and organization. I know you're having one, and as I said earlier, there are 7. So I would just say to the Yavapai College that this is not going to go away soon, this issue.
I would think the League of Women Voter, definitely, I think they have theirs on the, I think it's the 6th and the 20th, the 6th in Cottonwood and the 20th in Sedona at the library, and Cottonwood at the Rec Center. I think they start like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening.
That's correct. It's Cottonwood. It's Cottonwood Recreation Center, 8:30, yes. March 6th.
Yes.
In Sedona, it's March 20th, 8:30 at the Sedona Library.
Right. We are going to have our first exploratory meeting at VIAC, which we did not know the enthusiasm of the leadership throughout our valley. So we may not have enough room. So if that's the case, we might have to move it to Mingus Union High School. But so far, it's VIAC. It's going to be on the 19th of February from 4 to 5:30. Bob Oliphant is running that meeting. If you're interested in attending, 634-8507 would be the number that you'd want to call for any further information on that. Thanks.
And you can give them the address and
Cottonwood Financial Building. It's like 830 Main Street, South Main, or something like that, right by the House of Ming.
Right by the House of Ming. Very appropriate. Very appropriate. I don't know what to say. You guys have really, Bob's been a whistleblower. He and Ruth's been an activist. We really appreciate your work. I think you've done, whatever happens, you guys have done your part to bring an important issue to the surface and to public knowledge. And I think people are going to be even more irritated by it than Mike and I are, as you can see when you read the headlines.
Yes, yes. Well, we do want to reserve that. Listen, folks, we are going to have future shows on this. Don't forget, you can hear this show on vvid.org, and it is live streamed at 8:15 every Monday morning.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.